Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio, free radio.
Time for change. High time for change. Don't give me fear, just give me love and hope.
OMG, what a night. I'm Victoria Fenner, and this is the wrap-up edition of Election Soundup, the final edition. When the election was called on August 2nd, it looked like the campaign was going to drag on and on and on. But now I look back and I'm actually surprised that it's over. Doesn't feel like it was long at all. But I'm glad it's over. We all are. Though it was the second longest campaign in Canadian history, the results are also historic. Who saw that coming back in the summer that we would have a Liberal majority? One of my favorite things that happened during the campaign, I had the opportunity to talk to Carl Nirenberg, our parliamentary correspondent, every week. I really looked forward to our chats every week and looking at the listener stats. A whole bunch of you liked listening too. And so it's really fitting that we do our last election sound up with Carl to give us a wrap up.
It was a sweep change election. I mean, in some respects, it reminded me of the 1993 election that saw the end of the Mulroney Conservative government after just about 10 years, and the Liberals coming in with a big majority based on a kind of hope and change platform with an appealing leader, not the young and smiling Trudeau, but the sort of the amiable populist veteran Chrétien. But also interestingly enough, Chrétien was a product of the Pierre Elliott Trudeau era. So, but I think what's better about the result last night is that in 1993, the official leader of the opposition was a separatist, Lucien Bouchard. Right next to him, the main opposition party in English Canada, was the new right of center and somewhat populist Reform Party led by Preston Manning. And the NDP, which going into the election had over 40 seats, was reduced to non-parliamentary status. So that the whole parliament after 1993 was tilted, you know, to the right. The opposition was pulling in the right. The Bloc Québécois, then notionally a social democratic party, was actually led by somebody who was formerly a conservative and whose own instincts and tendencies were quite to the right and have proven so to be so subsequently. And the main opposition for all the rest of Canada was a right-of-center party that kept hammering away at deficits and lowering taxes. And the Liberals are the kind of party who respond to pressure, and they felt the pressure pulling from the right in many ways. There were also newly elected right-of-center governments in Alberta and Ontario. It wasn't newly elected in Alberta, but they had a new premier in Alberta, Ralph Klein, who was intent on radically slashing the budget, and in Mike Harris in Ontario. And the Liberal government of the time, Paul Martin, followed suit and became a budget slasher and a deficit fighter, and the whole hope and change promise went out the window. So I think this time we can feel, I know that it's a lot of people are licking their wounds, a lot of people listening today are licking their wounds. There are a lot of good NDP members who lost, and I thought some of those would make it, even as the Liberals were, as I knew they would, sweeping. But, you know, I thought Megan Leslie and Jack Harris and Craig Scott and Andrew Cash would still be members of Parliament. But even so, having a caucus of 44 is not insignificant. You're still a major voice in Parliament, and I think it'll be the job of progressives to keep this government, keep a good eye on this government and be vigilant and do our best, I include myself, I guess, in that group, to hold this government to account and remind them if and when they fail to live up to their promises.
Did you see this coming yesterday? I think so many people, me included, I thought a minority liberal was probable, but never saw a majority coming. How about you?
I saw a majority or a very good minority. What I didn't see was the Liberals winning 40 seats in Quebec. I thought the NDP, I was certainly hoping the NDP would hang on to about 30 to 40 seats in Quebec themselves. And the Liberals really, they surged up in Quebec at the very end. And I sort of sensed that coming when Francophone friends of mine in Quebec, who previously would have voted Bloc Québécois and may have voted yes in the 1995 referendum, may have voted for the PQ, were saying they were going to jump on the Trudeau bandwagon. They just felt that Trudeau represented change. There was a kind of complex process there of Mulcair losing because of the NECAB, and yet Trudeau, who shared Mulcair's position on the NECAB, and the best part of Trudeau's speech last night was when he talked about the Muslim woman who came to him with her babe in arms and said, "I'm supporting you because I want my daughter to grow up with full rights as a full-fledged Canadian," and that we fought fear and cynicism. So, I mean, I thought that was very good on his part. And oddly, though he took the same principal position as Mulcair, he didn't pay the same price as the NDP. It's a complex, it was a complex series of events. But I didn't see Quebec. I never would have predicted. I don't think the Liberals would have predicted that it would have been 40 seats in Quebec themselves. That was beyond their wildest dreams. But otherwise, I did see it coming. I mean, I thought, frankly, that the NDP would only hang on to a handful of seats in Toronto. I thought they would keep two or three. I thought they would certainly keep Craig Scott's seat, which was Jack Layton's seat, I knew that the Conservatives, you know, there was this phenomenon of strategic voting, essentially. Like, many people were convinced, too convinced, that this is what happens with strategic voting. This is why I've always been leery of it. But the groups like Lead Now succeeded in getting people in ridings, certainly where the NDP has been more or less and also ran historically, such as Ottawa West Nepean here in Ottawa, to switch to the Liberals, and that meant that the Liberals picked up a lot of those Conservative seats. I mean, people were painfully aware last time that in many Conservative seats, especially Ontario, the Conservatives only got 35, 38, 40, 41% of the vote, and the Liberals and NDP combined, if their vote were combined, they would have beat the Conservatives. Well, the voters decided to do that, to combine the vote and see to it that the Conservatives were defeated. But the big surprise was Quebec, I will say. I thought that if the Liberals won a majority, it would be really, you know, a very, very slim majority, just around 170. And I thought that the NDP would have gotten about, they got 16 seats in Quebec yesterday. I thought they would have gotten about double that. So that would have made the difference. So that, you know, the Liberals had, I think, 184, something like that. So that would have brought the Liberals down just to a bare, if you'd switched 15 seats in Quebec from the Liberals to the NDP, then you have the Liberals just at a majority or a couple of seats below it. It was Quebec that made the difference. They gave them a comfortable majority.
I'm hearing a surprising number of people saying that they're disappointed it wasn't a minority government. Do you think that Canada's better served or not as well served because the Liberals do have a majority?
I'm disappointed it wasn't a minority government myself. I thought if we had a minority government, then we'd get one thing that many people who voted Liberal sincerely want. You know, I saw people campaigning for, I believe, Lead Now or one of those strategic voting organizations, going door to door and telling, there was a report on them on the CBC, and they were telling the interviewer, our first-past-the-post system doesn't work. That's why we have to now get together and make sure we get rid of the Conservatives so that then we can get electoral reform. But, you know, I thought the only way of really guaranteeing that we will get electoral reform if there was a minority. And let's say, you know, Trudeau had about 165 seats, about 5 seats short of a majority, he would still need the NDP, you know, the 40-odd seats of the NDP or 50 seats. I thought the NDP would get more like about 10 more seats than they did. I was predicting they'd get between 50 and 60, and he would still need those people to pass his legislation. They'd have some leverage, and they'd say, look, the NDP would tell Trudeau, you know, our parties both proposed electoral reform. You promised it within 18 months of forming government. You better do it. Let's do it. And now is the time to do it. Now, of course, the NDP has the bully, sort of, maybe not quite the bully pulpit, but they have the pulpit. They have a significant role in Parliament, and they can stand up and holler about it, and all the people who want it to happen can holler about it. But I mean, I hate to predict it, but the cynic in me is ready to predict that that's the first promise the Liberals are going to forget about: electoral reform, bringing in a different system from our unfair first past the post system. We have a repeat in this election of the last election, almost exactly in one regard. One party gets 39.5% of the popular vote. That is in both elections. Harper last time, Trudeau this time. The same percentage of the popular vote, and the same percentage of the popular vote gives well over 50% of the seats. So there's something a little bit fishy about that. Many people I know say, well, that's just our system. And if you don't like one party, you get to vote them out next time, and it produces stability and all that. That's not Justin Trudeau's view. That's not what he promised. That's not what he says he believes in. He says he believes in electoral reform. But when have you ever seen a party win a majority under one system and then go and change the system that got them there, before the next election? It's never happened. So Justin Trudeau will prove himself to be a truly visionary and inspiring leader if he keeps that one promise, in my mind.
Yeah, and your article today that you wrote, hot off the press, is all about those promises that Justin Trudeau is now, we hope he's going to keep them.
Well, I mean, there's one I really remind you. I mean, there's a huge number of things happening between now and the end of the year, all kinds of international meetings, most important of which is the climate change meeting in Paris, where he hasn't promised anything in particular, except he's promised really to do something and bring the premiers and show a different face for Canada and get back on the climate change bandwagon. But he also promised something before the end of this year, which is coming pretty soon. We're almost at the end of October. So the end of the year will be upon us before we know it. And he promised to bring in 25,000 Syrian refugees. I mean, his promise on the Syrian refugees was far more ambitious than that of Tom Mulcair, as many of his promises were. I mean, it is really true that in many respects, this is a Liberal Party that leapt to the left of the NDP, and that's one reason they did win the election last night. But, you know, people kept saying the Liberal Party has done this before, and then they didn't keep the faith, notably in 1993. I mean, the Liberal government following the 1993 election quickly became a government of austerity, and I was working at the CBC at the time, and they slashed the CBC more than any government before or after. They never promised that. They never mentioned that. They ended federal government funding for assisted housing, for social housing. Libby Davies, who retired and is no longer a member of parliament, told me that that's what got her into politics. She was in Vancouver municipal politics with the deep cuts. Many people who are involved in the NDP now and got started in the 1990s said, we've got to move the balance here. This whole parliament is unbalanced. We have a Liberal government tilting right with a Reform Party as the main opposition, at least from English Canada. We've got to pull things back. And we'll see now. I mean, I think one can be a little more hopeful. I mean, Justin Trudeau is not the old sort of professional politician, Jean Chrétien, with his sidekick, multimillionaire businessman Paul Martin. He's a very, very different kettle of fish. I happen to have the opportunity to meet him on quite a few occasions. He's genuinely, personally, compassionate and progressive person in his own mind. I'm not so sure about his party. You know, I mean, it's a little bit like Barack Obama and the American Democratic Party. And he's going to have to fight back the lobbyists and the power brokers in his own party.
That was Carl Nirenberg, our parliamentary correspondent with Rabble.ca on our very last edition of Election Sound Up.
Turn the tide. Turn the tide. They try to tell us black is really white.
It's been a lot of fun doing this podcast. Thanks to all of our guests who contributed over the campaign, and especially to Carl Nirenberg for joining me with these weekly chats. And also, thanks so much for our custom theme, Gotta Vote, created for us by Charlie Shirelli and his sidekick, Seven String Sam of Kingston, Ontario. Well, last night there were surprises, there were disappointments. Some really great MPs, especially with the NDP, didn't get in. And that's a loss to the country. And even though there was consensus among all parties but the Conservatives that Stephen Harper had to go, there was also a strong feeling that we would be better off with a minority government. That didn't happen, but we did get rid of Stephen Harper, and that's a huge victory. Thanks for listening. I'm Victoria Fenner on Election Soundup, the final edition. Election Soundup is a production of Rabble.ca. We'll have lots of post-election coverage in our other podcasts and also on our blogs and news pages at Rabble.ca. So even though this special series podcast is over, we're still on the job. And Carl promises us that he's going to keep on doing podcasts. That's great news. I'm Victoria Fenner. Thanks for listening, and thanks for voting. Oh, Canada.
From sea to sea, bring back our dignity.